Blog Talk Radio.
Provided for us to come into your presence. We believe that your word is true, that when two or three are gathered in your name, that you're in the midst, and when two of us agree on anything, the Father will hear. So tonight we come in the name of Jesus, and we come standing in the righteousness of Jesus, and we come believing your word, that this is a confidence we should have. If we ask anything according to your will, you hear us, and if you hear us, we have the petition. So we ask you, Lord, to give us a blessing of your presence in this program tonight, that those that will be listening, that they will hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to the church, and they will listen very carefully to what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to them, to do with what you're saying to the church, and to do in the church what you're saying to the church. So, Lord, we thank you that this is an opportunity that you have provided. You provided the airways for us to share and call others to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to the church and to listen to what you're saying to them. So we bless you tonight in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, our Lord, our Master, our Savior, and our King, who is able to make all grace abound toward us, that we can have all sufficiency for all things and every good work. Amen. This is Pernell Hewing coming to you from Whitewater, Wisconsin, Universal Kingdom Church of the Firstborn. We're just so grateful for the Lord and what he is doing in these last days. We're so grateful that he's given us this opportunity to share the word of God and to listen very carefully to what he's saying to us. And so we bless those of you that are listening. We bless those that will listen maybe later as they go into the archives. But we bless you in the name of Jesus. And as we bless you, let us be very careful tonight to behold our God. You know, when you behold something, that is that you look upon it and you look upon it and you embrace it and you call it yours. So you want to behold your God so that God may arise in your life. And he will not just arise in your presence now, but he will arise in your life and the enemies will be scattered, and then he will speak peace to you. That is, you are now in relationship back on the Lord's side. So we bless you again in the name of Jesus. Let us listen as our psalmist, Dr. Derek David Kuhn, bring us a word tonight, bring us a psalm tonight. Let's see if we can get him to sing Sweet Anointing, because that is such a precious song that he sings, and we want that sweet anointing tonight as we gather here in this place. Amen.
Sweet anointing, sweet anointing,
To proclaim liberty, to open prison doors. Oh, he was anointed to heal the sick. We desire to be anointed with fresh oil. Sweet anointing, precious is the anointing.
Sweet anointing of the Lord. Set us free. Here we stand, our hearts cry out. Heal us now.
Now, Spirit of God, here we stand. Our hearts cry out. Fill us now, Spirit of God. There's a sweet anointing coming from heaven. And so we're talking tonight from the Universal Kingdom Church of the Firstborn about building the foundation of on kingdom principles, which is a firm foundation. And so let's go back into our book of Matthew. I'm just so excited about the book of Matthew, and I hope that you are enjoying the blessings of hearing the word precept upon precept. I try not to take the word and twist it or make it say what it shouldn't say, but I believe that the Spirit of the Lord will give you a greater revelation of what God is saying to you at this time. I know many of us have read these chapters and these verses over and over, but I believe it means so much more to us today than probably ever before, although we might have taken it in. But I think the Lord, as I said at the beginning, I think it's almost like he has boots on the ground in our face, saying, I'm speaking to you. I'm not telling you something to go teach somebody. I'm not telling you something for you to know and understand it. I am speaking to you to make it yours, to make it a part of your life. And so as we go through the book of Matthew or whatever we go through, it's not just to learn it. We're going to take it precept upon precept, and we're going to see what is the Spirit saying to the church today. And then what is he saying to me? Because you see, I believe that when Jesus came on the scene in Matthew, that he is saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That is, these are kingdom principles. These are the principles that God has up in the heavens. And I am down here, I'm bringing them down to you so that you can then understand that you are to live and move and have your being in me, that the principles that the Father has laid up in the heavens, it is for you to live. And so we're going to get into that tonight. We have been in chapter 7. We've taken some time with it. We've gone probably back and forth into some earlier parts so we can tie it all together. But hopefully tonight we're going to get to a place where we can finish most of it. We're down to verse number 13, and I really like that verse. If you want to go and take another look at 12, it's a good place to be to live. It would be wonderful to live this out in our families. It would be wonderful to live this verse in our jobs. But most importantly, it would be wonderful to live it out in the church. I think sometime in the church it seems like we think we have liberty to mistreat others, and we don't think we mistreat them, but we just might think that we are a little better than they are, and so we can say and do things that is not going to impact us, and who cares whether it impacts them. But listen to this verse. 12 says, therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Now, listen at how well he put that. And words are very important to God in the Bible. Every word means what it says, but you have to know what it means to you. So listen, one verse here that he ends that first way of asking, and principle of asking and you receive, and telling you that if you do ask, you seek then, and you'll find. But he ends with, then being, therefore, if all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets. And, you know, I thought about that, and if you think about it, you're thinking, I'm going to do just what I would have people to do to me. But what happens when you do what you would have people to do to you, and they would do just the opposite to you? As a matter of fact, not just the opposite, just so much more beyond what you would even think a person would think of doing to you. And I want to say to you, the word does not change. It doesn't have a disclaimer on. It doesn't say you do to others what you'd have them do to you, if they do to you what you would have them do to you, you see. But generally, you can watch this. If you start doing to others what you would have them do to you, which means that you're going to do what God would have you to do, and they do just the opposite, it's going to be testing time for you. It is testing time for me right now. When you begin to see how easy it is for people to mistreat you or to hurt you. And so it's all right. I like testing time, because it means it shows there's something in you that the Christ hadn't finished yet, you see. And I think this scripture, if we lived it every day, or if we practice it, let's say for a month, no, that's too long, let's say for 7 days, let's say this is a fast that we're going to do, that whatever I do today, I'm going to do what I would have someone to do to me. And you really need to check that closely, because let it be that if I want people to always tell me the truth, I don't want people to tell me half-truth. I don't want people to tell me what they think I want to hear. I want them to tell me the truth. And so if I decide that this is what I want and I'm going to do it to others, then I'm really going to have to really scrutinize what I do and say. It has to be truth. you see. And that will then, I think this one law will cause us to change a lot of sinful habits that we do have. And it will also cause us to think about others. It will also make us to know others better than we know ourselves. Sometimes I'm surprised, and I've said to someone very recently, when they accuse me of doing something, that doesn't, it never occurred to me to do it that way. And I said, but you really don't know me. If you know me in the spirit, and if you watch the way that I operate, you should know that I won't do that. I wouldn't have even think of doing that. But because we don't know people in the spirit, we just know at them about them, then what we do, we think we have a license to do it. Well, if we say Jesus Christ is boots on the ground, and he has come to us, and when he gives us a principle, I think what it means, not that we're going to immediately be able to perfect that, but what is going to happen, we're going to be able to enter into it by being tested in it. And as we are tested in it, it works out of us the unholiness, you see, the impartation that Jesus brought down from heaven when he brought us the Beatitudes, and this is one of the Beatitudes, and he brought us the blessed are the merciful, and blessed are the meek, and blessed are they which you hunger and thirst after righteousness. All of those blessedness means that you're going to be tested from this time on to check to see which one of these you're not walking in. And I'll tell you, it becomes a tight road to walk when you start thinking this way. But look at the next scripture right away. He puts it in place. Verse 13, enter ye in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereon. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth into life, and few there be that find it. And, it, you know, the Bible is so very well put together. It is so well put together because in the Bible, the verses, you might, if you notice the way he puts it in the Bible, he will give you a principle, and then he'll maybe just explain it somewhat, and then he'll move to another principle. And I think if we read it that way, we're reading it to say, this is what God is saying, but we are reading to say, what is he saying to me? What does he want me to do with what he's saying? When I read it the first time, I'm reading it, this is here what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to the church. This is the church that he's coming back without spot or wrinkle. So that's he's saying it to the church. So if he says it to the church and I go teach it to the church and I tell others about it, I have the information. But when I listen carefully to what he's saying to me, because portions in there he has to test me in, but he doesn't test John Jones in it, you see, because John Jones might not do what I do. So I have to listen and follow what he says to me, so that I will then be able to live out what he's saying to the church, in the church, you see. And that's what this whole program is about. You've heard me say it for nearly a year. Hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to the church. The Bible is not given to us for information. It's not given for us to learn something to teach. It is given, it in this is the way of life. It is life, you know. It's life, and it's fullness of life and fullness of joy and fullness of righteousness and fullness of peace, you see. And, you know, when we really go through some things sometimes as Christians, if you ever thought that being a Christian, you wouldn't have any problem, get over the thought, because you will. I was saying to someone this week, I used an old saying that I used to hear from my mother, but it really came in. I said, when it rains, it pours. And in my life this week, it was really pouring. Every time I would get one thing taken care of, something else would happen. Every time I tried to straighten out something with one person, somebody else would come and accuse me of something I didn't do. And so it's just one of those things. But, you know, all this means is that God is working in our lives, and he's working something out of our lives. And this scripture then became so meaningful when it says, therefore all things says, whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do ye even to them, for this is the law and the prophets. Another thing where you can test that scripture, when you think that you are doing to people what you'd have them do to you, let someone do to you something that hurts you or that interferes with your peace, then all of a sudden, if you think about it carefully, you might see that you might have done something that would have hurt someone else or would have hurt that person too, because you, even if you want to admit that you do something wrong, I'm finding that in this easy believism world, we don't think that we sin, so we don't have any need to check ourselves. And when we are tested, you see, sometimes we forget, especially if you're in ministry and the Lord is blessing your ministry, we forget how we treat people in connection to us. We forget how we push them aside. Now, I have to correct that and say this. I'm not talking about the people that expect you to be to them what they want, you know, rather than what God has given you to them to be, because God, they're in your life because God gave you to be something in their life, but not what they want. They might want you to be this when the Lord given you to be something else, and so they get upset with you and think you mistreating them. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about do unto others as you have them do unto you has another connotation. It has this everyday life. If I want people to tell me the truth, not think one thing and tell me another thing, then I would always do that to them. And I have some examples. One of the books, the greatest books that I've ever written, and you probably don't see it in our bookstore, you don't hear me talking about it, is a book on battling for a soul. It is looking at the taproot bondages of fear, rejection, rebellion, stubbornness, disobedience, and fear. And that book grew out of something that happened in my early life, but it didn't come to the surface until I got in the ministry. And so what it does, it took me 15 years to write the book. It took me another 5 years to maybe get it so that I could trust it to go out. People still tell me that I should write it with a disclaimer, because when you get into it, you will find how rebellious you are. You will find roots of rebellion you never even knew were there. You will find rejection of people and things and situations till you find that you've rejected God in most things. You'll find fear lurking behind everything. You'll find disobedience. You'll see yourself in so many ways. And not only did I write the book, I drew pictures to show the spirits that grow out of it. And so when I said 15 years, it took that long because God was working through me and working out of me all those things that had built, where I had built my own kingdom out of those things. And the reason I built it was a simple thing, was when I was a little girl and I was in school, and the teacher said something to me in one setting with my parents that made me think she was so pleased with me. She was happy with me, but it was literally the wrong thing I was doing, but she just made me think it was okay. Then when she got me in school and she made a spectacle of me by saying, look at this, I did this so well. And she said, not you. I saw you and you did it all wrong. And the way she said it, it made me so fearful that I would never do anything right. So as a result of that, over the years, what had happened to me was I built my own kingdom. I built a kingdom of self. I built a kingdom that I would always be in charge of my life. I would never be caught in a situation again where I would think a person is thinking one thing while they're thinking another one. So I would always be very well prepared. And of course, it built a kingdom. If you're ever interested in that book, you might want to just see me. And it built a kingdom that protected me, but it was a kingdom that Satan had great influence in my life, because he is the father of rebellion. He's the father of pride. He is pride personified, and all those things came. So it took those 15 years of my writing until he could get to the root of it. I don't know why I'm telling this story, but the thing that happened and that Lord really had to work with me, I had a very difficult time, even as an adult, and even after I was delivered of that, I had to go through another pruning for people telling me one thing when they believed another thing about me. I've always wanted people to tell me the truth. You know, I wanted them not to tell me they were pleased with this when basically they were not, you know. And so I've always, and so I had to go through pruning with that. I learned in class the other night, someone said that they used a statement, she bust me out. I didn't know what that meant, but it meant that you uncover them and something they were doing was hiding. And I didn't know how to handle that because I always want to tell the truth. I always want to say what's on my mind. I always want to say what I see. I always want to say what I know. And I find that often in the body of Christ, you have to cover up so much because people want to feel offended or hurt or what have you. But I think the scripture causes us to do it righteously. Listen to what he says again. It says, therefore all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do even to them, for this is the law. He's bringing the law from heaven. This is how you're going to live. This is what he gave the prophets to bring to the church and the firstborn in the wilderness. So this is a law you must live by. Now, it causes us to grow up. It causes us to get into the Word of God and allow the Word become fruit in our lives. Because you have to, you know, we can get so dogmatic with the word that love is left out. So you say, if you see someone that's looking bad today and they're feeling down and you say, oh, you look so bad today. No, I'm not talking about that type of thing that you're going to just be rude and you're going to run roughshod over people's feelings. What I'm talking about is being holy. What I'm talking about is being righteous. What I'm talking about is being in a place with God where he will give you the opportunity to not only to live this out and know what you would expect people to do for others, for you, and give you what to do to them, but at the same time, protect the person's heart from being bruised because you are so blatant. Now, granted, it takes on another charge when someone is really being phony or covering up something and you come out and say, well, you know, this is what you should not do, and they say, you bust me out. Well, it's supposed to be exposed in a particular way that they will see truth rather than hide out with this lie. So you know what is going to help with this? It's going to help you when you come to Jesus and he began to work this in you by the Spirit, in the Spirit, and through the Spirit. So I make a covenant with God that I want to always do to others what I would have them do to me. Now, Lord, I don't know how long it's going to take for you to help me to enter into a place with you that I can do that. I don't know what you're going to have to do in me and through me and for me to show me where I do things to others that I wouldn't have them doing to me. But that's what I want. And I'm covenanted with you that I'm going to allow you to finish that in me so that I will always do unto others as I would have them do unto me. Now, Lord, since I don't know how to do that, and since there's so much of me still in me that want to protect me from the things hurting me, I need you to show me clearly every time I need to do to others what I want them to do to me. That's how we handle this word that we're going through now. We don't just run over it and say we've heard that, we've learned that, let's teach someone else that. It's going to be a difficult walk for me for a while the Lord began to open up things to me to show me things that I'm doing to others that I would not have them doing to me. And then he's going to, after he shows it to me, he will then turn, listen to me good, and help you and teach you and prepare you to do it unto others so that it will build them up, it will lift them up, it will help them. He's not asking you to be phony. He's not asking you to lift somebody up in a way that you have helped them to get a foundation built that they can stand. This is holy. This is God. He has to bring us to the place where if we do unto others what we would have them do unto us, it has to be Spirit-led. It has to be done in the Spirit, by the Spirit, and through the Spirit, and it has to be done with great love. In order for that to happen, he has to work in us his Spirit, and then he has to work his love in. So that takes flesh away. That takes us trying to obey a word. You know, I think one of the things I say to my church all the time, one of the reasons we've had is a failure in healing, that people know the steps to get the healing, but they haven't allowed the Lord to work the healing in, because you have to come close enough and you have to hear what the Spirit is saying and you have to walk it out with him. So I'm so grateful for this book of Matthew. I'm so grateful for the scriptures that God is giving a brand new way of living the kingdom on earth as it is in heaven, because the kingdom comes in our heart. It is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. And that's why he said the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent. Repent for the past. That is, turn around, go this way now. It doesn't mean that you have to wait, struggle years and months and trying to figure out how you're going to do unto others. No, then you come into him and you allow him to work it in you. And as he works it in you, he works his power in you. He works his truth in you. He works his Spirit in you. And he works then the love of God, that when you are tempted to do something to someone else that you wouldn't have them do to you, you don't even have to try to do it. The Spirit of the Lord just allow you to do it, you see. And that's the blessings of the Lord coming upon you. So I'm so grateful. I wish all of you tonight would make a decision that you're going to covenant with God for him to finish the work in you. Now, let me say something else about the Word of God. I think so often we read the Word of God and we try to live it. Darlings, if you know something, you can't live it. What we come, whenever we come to the Word, like I just said, and we see this is what the Lord is requiring of us, then you submit yourself to that Word, and you submit yourself to Jesus as the Word, and submission means we humble ourselves under him and let him work that Word in us. He's going to work it in us by working out of us the things that keep us from walking in that Word. And that's what his role is in this book of Matthew. That's why he is boots on the ground. That's why we can't live Christianity. We have to live by the Spirit, in the Spirit, and through the Spirit, because when we live Christianity and live the Christian principles, we are back where the Jews were, living the law. You see, they lived the law, but when Jesus came, he brought the Spirit in, and this is what we're walking through now with him, in the Spirit, by the Spirit, and through the Spirit. So I'm so grateful for that principle. I'm not there yet. I don't know what all he has to do for me to get me there, you know. He worked a lot of work in me to get me past this place, even with Christians where they would say one thing and mean another. I had to get to a place. There was two sides to that. It was not only my letting it in be in my heart, but I had to get to a place to know how to handle that with the Lord's prom, pressing me to say that there's a heart and a love that even that Christian who does that may not know what that person is doing to you, because I was very tender in that area. I was so tender from the time when that teacher did this to me. I guess it was elementary school. I don't know how long, because we worked in a little one-room school that was table with from one grade, and she'd go teach the other. And it was so embarrassing for me the way she did me. And so here I am grown up, and it was still in my heart. And so once I had a minister to come, and he said to me, Dr. Hill, what would you have me to do to help us get ready for the meeting to come up? And I said, well, I'm really trying to fix the house. The sanctuary at that time was really in need of repair. I'm really trying to get things. I said, what you could help me do, I said, would you lay that piece of linoleum in the bathroom over there for me so that that bathroom would be decent for people to come in. And I didn't think anything of it because he was a man pastor, and he was part of my ministry, and he was coming, and he said he wanted to help. Then he goes and he tells someone that he came to minister the word of God, and I put him to put down a piece of linoleum. And I said, well, he asked me, and if all I expected him to say, well, no, I don't do that. I don't want to do that. I want to go to my room and study the word. And that's when the Lord slapped me in the face to let me know that although he had carried me through 15 years of tearing down that kingdom that I had built up, and showing me how it impacted the kingdom, what I had to get then was how that impacted the way I responded to life. What was it that caused me to always want people to tell me the truth? If you say you want to help me, if you don't want to help me, say you don't want to help me. If you say I don't want to do that, say you don't want to do it. All you have to say very nicely, well, I'm very sorry, I can't do that. Oh, I want to go to my room and study the word. And I just went back and forth with that. And God finally said, he said, now that's the root of your problem. You are expecting people to say what's on their heart. You're expecting them to treat you like you want to be treated. And like you would treat them. He said, but it may not happen all the time. So then I had to learn a new side of it. I had to learn how to deal with it when they didn't do as I expected. Was I going to get hurt? Was I going to get upset? Was I going to bury that and just criticize that person? I had to learn a new way. And I think that's what the Word of God wants to do for us. It wants to bring us into a righteousness and a place that we can be holy and righteous and have the peace of God in our heart. And you see, I want to say again very quickly, I have not arrived yet. I'm still being tested in areas, but thank God, and I want you to be tested by the Word of God, not by what people think, not by the way they expect you to act, but by the Word of God. When the Word tests you, then you run into the Lord because he's a high tower and the righteous one therein and is safe. And so you run to him and you work through your salvation with fear and trembling because your salvation is so precious to you. It is not just a way of life. It is life. And you want your life to grow stronger and more and more. I just believe that as we grow older in the Lord, that we should be stronger in the Lord. And I want to tell you another thing. As you grow and get stronger in the Lord, people will test you even the more. And like I say, with my life in the past few weeks, when it rains, it pours. But it means that God's moving deeper. He has to move deeper in my life because if he doesn't move deeper, I will be overwhelmed by the attacks from the enemy. So I want you to walk with me through the book of Matthew. We've got a king. His name is Jesus. He came to the earth, and he said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And he said, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. And so I take that very seriously. I believe that he is saying to us, and he said, ask and you'll receive, seek and you'll find, knock and the door will be open. I take that. So that is stronger for me to follow than what someone else might do to me, and it is worth my taking his word serious when he said, what you would have man to do unto you, do even unto them. I want to follow him, and I want you to do the same thing. Well, praise the Lord. I didn't mean to get off in that one verse. I wanted to get to the next verses because the next verses really is saying more. But it's interesting that he put those two, that one verse there, just before he got to the most serious verse, I think, in this whole chapter. He says, enter ye in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Isn't that awesome, the way the Lord is putting that? Let's go back and read that again. It says, enter ye in at the straight gate, For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And I think the first one he gave us just before that, if we conquer that, then we have to, or if we enter into it, I'll say that, then we have to decide, do you really want to go this straight, narrow way? Do you really want to be in a place where you don't have a lot of wiggle room to do wrong? I just love Pastor Lee so much, and she always tells us it's a life sentence, you know, and she'll always say you're without excuse. Every time, sometimes she doesn't realize it, when she says that, sometimes it's almost like there's a temptation coming, or there's a place where we're going to give ourselves a little excuse to have some wiggle room. Well, she always reminds us right at the right time, it's a life sentence. Whatever God is saying to you, it's a life sentence, or you are without excuse, you know. And she says it and keep on walking. But it's a great sentence, and it's a great way for to keep us looking at the straight and narrow, because that when you said, I am willing, and I think when Jesus came on the scene, he was saying to us, are you willing to live this life now? Of the kingdom, follow me. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. Are you willing to do this? And then he begins to open it up, telling us what it means. And there comes this one right here that says, wide is the gate that leads to destruction, but narrow is the gate. Straight is the gate that leads to life. And so think about it. If you kind of picture yourself going through a gate that is narrow, where you can barely get in. There's a scripture I like. I'm a seeker, and I find it, that always remind me of this gate. It's in Micah. You know, Micah's that little book that you don't read much, but there's so much in one or two chapters of Micah. But it's in the second chapter of Micah, and I love to read it because it brings me back to this narrow way that Jesus is talking about. This is in Micah chapter 2, and it starts with, before, we always use it a lot, but one verse I like to read first is verse 10, Arise ye and depart, for this is not your rest. Because it is polluted, it shall destroy you, even with a sore destruction. Now let's go back to what Jesus says over here. He says, broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. So I think when I look at this, and I'm saying to you, it is time for all of us to rise. I'm saying to you, arise, and let's move into this straight gate, into this straight narrow gate, because arise and depart, for this is not your rest. Because it is polluted, it shall destroy you, even with a sore destruction. And then it goes on to say, if a man walking in the spirit and falsehood do lie, saying, I will prophesy unto thee of wine and of strong drink, he shall even be the prophet of this people. He's telling us what Jesus says right after that. It's verse 15 in Matthew that says, beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravaging wolves. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes and thorns or figs and thistle? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, and corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits you shall know them. And we go back to Micah, and it's almost saying the same thing. When he talks about this man walking in the spirit of falsehood and lie, it's almost like Jesus says the same thing, beware of false prophets, because it says, arise and depart from here, because where you are, it's polluted. It will destroy you. And he's showing what false prophets will do, but listen at the other last two verses there. I will surely assemble, O Jacob, all of thee. This is in Micah 2, verse 12. I will surely gather the remnant of Israel I will put them together as the sheep of Bozrah, as a flock in the midst of their fold. They shall make great noise by reason of the multitude of men. He's going to gather us out of this place. That's why we need to go through this straight gate, this narrow gate. And you might say, well, what does that mean? What does it mean? And he's telling us here to beware of false prophets. He wants you to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to the church and for the church. He wants you to walk it out in your life, live it out. And then he goes, the last part of it, verse 13 in Micah chapter 2 says, the breaker is come up before them. They have broken up and have passed through the gate. Remember, this is a narrow gate. It's a straight gate. And are some gone out by it? And listen to this. This is Micah. And their king shall pass before them, and the Lord on the head of them. And what he's saying, the same thing in Micah 2, as he says in Matthew, he is the king, that he's come now, and he's going to bring them to the gate. When you come to the gate to make a decision to move over into the straight gate and the narrow way, the enemy will be there. He'll be at the gate to keep you from going through the gate. He'll be on the other side of the gate to stop you from going all the way in. So that's why the Lord is coming to us now. And I think that's where the church is. I think while he's saying here what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to the church, I think that's where we are, that the Lord really wants us to beware of false prophets. He wants us not only to know that we need to arise and depart from this lackadaisical Christianity, this light Christianity where we give ourselves excuses to do things that we know are not holy. We give ourselves time to do something for a short period of time, not realizing it's a life sentence. He wants us to make a firm decision now that he's coming back for church without spot or wrinkle, and he's coming soon. So he wants us to rise out of this place where we are slumbering and depart, because it will destroy us with a sore destruction. But sometimes it's like Matthew says, beware of the prophets which prophesy false things. And I want to say a word there. I want you to be very careful, because I'm always very careful that we don't throw something just blanket beware. If you are aware, it's different from being suspicious and judging sensorially everything. Well, that's what we do in the flesh. He says to beware. And when he says to beware, that is going to help if you and the Lord has made a connection, so that you know that which is false and that which is not. Excuse me. And so here's what. The way Jesus tells us here in this chapter, that it is easy for us to be deceived. And he doesn't make any bones about it, that you can easily discern that. So he goes on to explain that you will know them by their fruits. And then he begins to explain how fruit come forth from that which is good and how corruption come forth. So because he gave us such a beautiful illustration, it tells us that we may not be able to recognize them as false prophets when they come, because they come with such they may have all kinds of ways to cover them up. It took me back. It seems as if over the years God has had me to write a book or something that kind of match what he is saying. And I always mention them from time to time. I still say, if you're interested in any of our books, you can call our office at 262-473-7472, and you can get them. But this is a book, I call it my classic. It's called In the Depths of Jesus. And before I mention that, I just want to tell you, I wrote something about it that I want to read before I read that little passage from, because that passage matches what Jesus is saying. I wrote this: the love of the Lord is the most powerful force in life, and when one yields to that love in deep humility and faithfulness, God will richly bless that life. Yielding means humbly accepting God's love without questioning. Yielding means transforming the mind through the Word of God. Yielding means waiting before the Lord and listening to the leading of the Spirit of the Lord. The heart that is open to God is a heart that believes God's Word, that is receptive to the leading in the Word, and one that accepts God's love in faith. The heart that is open to God is a childlike heart, and a heart that comes into the Lord with a childlike faith. When such a heart is found, the Lord then opens the heavens and fills that heart with the love of the Father and fills that soul with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding from on high. When one has to experience the depths of Jesus and yields to the Spirit that draws to Jesus and believes in childlike faith in Jesus, the results will be filling of the Spirit of Jesus that sets the heart ablaze with a new understanding of love. And so I wrote this book. The following message to offer as messages from a loving Father and a gracious Lord who kindly bestows his love on an humble servant who sought for his guidance and believed his word. So for 7 years in my early life, 7 long years, I would meet with the Lord every day regardless of where I was in the world, and he would give me a message from heaven. And I compiled those messages in a book, and I ended up with volumes, I mean huge volumes of messages from heaven. And he was training me in the prophetic through that. And then what year was this book published? We'll have to look and see. Back in 1987, it went in 4 publications, 87, 94, 99, and 202. This has gone around the world with messages from God. And what happened when it went into publication, of the many, many volumes, he pulled it out and gave me just what the message he wanted the church to have and me. And the first message says this. It's so touched with our message for tonight. Here's what it says. The crowds don't know me. No, and by the way, it heads enter in the narrow and straight gate. And then it has a gate as an opening, and it says, I'm opening the gate to life. Count the cost. And that sounds like that message, and I wrote that long before 87 because I was writing 7 years before I thought of publishing, maybe 10 years before I thought of publishing this book. So the crowds don't know me because they prefer the easy way. This is the first one of the messages in the book. The things of the world. You know my way is not easy. It's not easy to follow because it's not wide. You must enter in by a narrow and straight gate to live this life hidden in Christ. Then he goes on to write, this is the first one, you stand at the door now and knock, I'm about to open this gate. Count the cost now, because it is a life not of this world, but a life of joy and peace and happiness, which will extract a price from you. The price is complete obedience to Christ and his word. It will cause you to lose friends and sometimes loved ones, but you will have the love of the one who counts, your Lord and your Savior. This life I give willingly to you, my child, because you freely come to me and you ask for it, and you ask me to help you give all that you must. From this day forward, my child, just know that you're moving into and in that life hidden in Christ, that so few of my followers really want it or can discipline themselves to obtain it. Listen, the only discipline one needs is to yield himself to me and let me, your Lord Jesus Christ, shape and mold you as I see. The molding sometimes may cause you to fight against the molder, but once you have yielded, the molder will not give, for he cannot. His way is set. Can you get out of the mold? Praise me. You will not want to escape. The flight from this day forward, my child, is mine. Your struggle is now to give me your obedience, yourself for molding. When you do that, my love and spirit shine through you. Now go away praising, thanking, obeying, honoring, loving, and trusting. I read that because it's so akin to the message in Matthew. I'm not even sure whether I was reading Matthew and he was explaining Matthew to me. It's been so many years ago. But what it does say, when you have that type of experience with God, and everyone should have a particular prayer time when they just allow the Lord to minister to them and they minister to the Lord, not to ask for things, then he began to tell you from heaven who he is and what's in his heart. And what I want to say is, when you then hear a false prophet, the Lord will be able to tell you it's false. But even if we go back and read what Jesus says, he says enough about the false prophet coming to us in sheep clothing that it may not be as easy as we think to recognize a false prophet. And at the same time, you have to be so careful, because I think we have to be very careful how we handle the prophetic word. Because a lot of times, the prophetic word comes to us from God. But because so many have the Holy Ghost and they can hear something, what they might tell you may be true or it may not be true. One of the things that's so blessing to me is I want to know what foundation you stand on. Because so many prophets will bring your word, but where did they get the authority to give you that word? And yet at the same time, you can't always question them. Who sent you? What is your background? Where did you come from? And the word may be okay, may not be okay, may be something that God is saying. So what I've learned to do with that is I take it to the Lord and I put it on the altar. It may sound like something God may not want. It may sound like something God wants. Sometimes some of the words coming at me, I can say you're dead wrong because God had already finished that with me. And so we have to, and in this prophetic age, and we're aware the prophetic is very alive in so many people. And so many people's lives are not matched up to carry the vessel, and does not have the vessel to carry the prophetic word to give to someone who needs that prophetic word. I remember one thing that came to me in my early ministry when I didn't know that much. I knew some things, but people would come to my meetings, and there would be people that would say things to me, and it was pretty true. They would say some prophetic things, and it was pretty true. But I went back to the Lord once, and I said, "Now, Lord, I know maybe you said that for me to do that in that ministry, in that meeting, but why did you tell that person when I didn't know to do that?" And he explained to me this. He said, that person has the prophetic and was seeing what should be done, but I was telling you what to do with it because that wasn't what you were supposed to do. And he explained this. That person has not paid the price to get a license, and he didn't mean a physical license, to be able to use the prophetic for his glory and for his purposes. So they had this prophetic move in them, but they were right but not righteous. It scared me. It scared me when then I didn't know what was right and what was righteous. Because he even said what the person said was true. But it wasn't what he wanted me to do at that time. And he said, because that person has the ability to see, but does not know what to do with it, because I have to tell them what to do. I was telling you what to do, because that's what needed to be done at that time, although the full picture would come into being after that was done. It was a scary place. It still is. It should be for you too. It should be that we are free to flow in the body, fulfilling God's purpose, speaking God's words without being concerned. I don't have that problem much anymore because, you know, over the years, God has kind of put things in order for me and put things to keep people out that don't supposed to be there. But it's a dangerous thing when we don't know what is the false prophet and what's not. If we go back and look at Micah, isn't it interesting what Micah said? Micah talked about one walking in falsehood, giving false messages, and the people are saying it's okay. Listen again. He says if a man walking, he said, arise and depart from this now. If a man walking in the spirit and falsehood, you see, he didn't say spirit of falsehood, walking in the spirit and falsehood do lie, saying, I will prophesy unto thee of wine and of strong drink. He shall even be the prophet of this people. He's walking in the spirit. and he is also lying. Well, that's what Matthew says, you see. And so you got to be very careful that you stay so close to the Lord that the Lord, by his Spirit, will be able to lead you. And I still go back to tell you, meet with him at least 30 minutes to say, about three times a week, just where he can strengthen you. You know, he says in one place, if you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you will have my life in you. If you don't, you won't have my life in you. So we make a decision in this place that this is my life. This is the life that I'm going to live, where I'm going to do unto others as I would have them do unto me. Don't know what I have to give up. Don't know how many tests I have to go through. But I am going to seek the Lord that he will help me through this period where I'm tested, so that when I come on the other side, I can only do that by walking out every day of my life with him and bringing him into every situation so that he can help me to do what I need to do to others as I'd have them do to me. Then I will have to get his Spirit to enter into this narrow and straight way. It's not a way that I normally want to go. I want to have some wiggle room. I want to have more than wiggle room. I want to have lots of room to live a good, happy life, enjoying the things of the world, not worldly things, but just the things that make life so pleasant, laughing and joking and enjoying life and doing that. Does it mean I can't do that? Well, I have to examine those things that I can't do or should not do, and embrace the things that I'm called to do. And I can't figure that out. You can't figure it out. So that means his word to you then and to me is, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. We're going to get to that in Matthew 11. And I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly, and I'll give you rest to your soul. Take my yoke upon you. We get there. Our dear sister Pam Badura is looking at the full face of the gospel, and one is the ox, and it talks about coming close and coming into being yoked with the ox. And she shared this in church. Didn't share with the church. Shared it with me that the ox is always yoke a weaker ox with a strong ox. And then the weaker ox will get to know the strong ox and how the strong ox do it, so that when they unyoke, then the weaker ox will be a strong ox. Well, then he says, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly. We're going to talk about that when we get to 11. I think she'll be ready to get that message so clear to us until we may even have her to come on and give it. So anyway, tonight we are so grateful for those of you that listen. I pray that you receive something from this. I thought I was going to finish chapter 7 tonight, but we have another portion of it, and that's starting with verse 21, when he tells us, not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter in the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of the Father. And that's what I was reading from my book. I pulled it out when I read that. I didn't get to it tonight, but and he says it so clearly in the first opening of In the Depths of Jesus. The crowds don't know me because they prefer the easy way, the things of the world. You know, my way is not easy to follow because it's not wide. You must enter in by a narrow and a straight gate to live this life hidden in Christ, which is what I was asking for, still asking for, a life hidden with Christ in God. So we welcome you, and we say, to a new way of living, a new way of thinking. We welcome you to a testing time. I want you to come to this testing time with me. I want you to start thinking about doing unto others as you would have them do unto you. And you might say it's easier not to expect them to do it to you or not want them to do it to you, then you have to worry about doing it to them. But then the next thing he says, enter ye in a straight gate, because that's what happens in that gate. And because broad is the way that leads to destruction, you see. And so, come and join me as we begin to allow the Lord to show us the false prophets. Sometimes we don't want to see them. Sometimes they're so close to us. Sometimes they're part of what we do. Sometimes they keep giving us a prophetic word that may sound good, and we want it. And so the Lord is testing us. Are you ready to enter in at the straight gate and the narrow way? Because once you enter in, there's going to be a new life for you in there. We bless you tonight in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach. We thank you for listening, those of you that are listening. We look forward to coming back with you on Sunday evening at 7 o'clock. We meet here every Sunday, every Wednesday at 7 o'clock Central Standard Time. We're going to be continuing with the book of Matthew, chapter 7. We're going to start with the verse 21, hopefully. Not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter in the kingdom of heaven. And so there's a narrow way he's calling us to. So I want you to prepare for the Lord to test you and to pass the test, whether you will do unto others as you'll have them do unto you, and pray about it. Pray and ask God to help you through that, to show you what you don't do and when you're doing it wrong, and then ask him to give you a panoramic view of the straight gate and the narrow way, you know, so that you can know what you're entering in, but you will not back out anymore. I wrote a book on the book of Hebrew, and it says almost the same thing about the city of refuge, that when you get in there, you cannot leave. And so we present ourselves to the Lord tonight, as we present all of you that are listening. We ask the Heavenly Father that he would bless you tonight, that he would open your heart and let you know how tender his love is, how great his love is, and that he doesn't want you to strive nor struggle to enter the straight gate, nor to do unto others, that he wants to minister his love through you so that it will be effortless for you to do it. So just make the covenant that you are willing to be made willing where you're not willing to be made willing. And as you're willing to be made willing, that the Holy Spirit will guide you and lead you in such a way that all the obedience to the Lord will be an effortless work for you, because he will do it through you and for you. We want to say good night tonight, and we will be back with you again on Sunday evening at 7 o'clock, same time. And we are the Universal Kingdom Church of the Firstborn, moving higher. And our talk tonight is build the foundation of a kingdom principle, which is build the foundation on kingdom principles, which is a firm foundation. We bless you in Jesus' name, and we say good night.